We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Secretary Pryor, as we know, voters will decide this November whether or not to back $20 million in borrowing for improvements at Provport. Why have the specifics of the revenue sharing proposal for this project not been shared with voters?
Well, the basic framework has been shared. The idea will be for there to be a portion of gross receipts shared between the state and the city. This would be the first time that the state would participate in the revenue from the port because the state hasn't had a role before. We did, in the course of negotiations, insist upon a role for the state, and I will say that the Provport stakeholders were very receptive to that. So there is a framework that's being put out there, and some of the details have to be worked out because, frankly, we need to figure out, okay, which land is being acquired, what kind of development is going to occur there. Really, that will only happen once there is a pot of resources and the process gets going.
Why isn't Provport putting up any of the financing for this proposal?
Oh, I think in effect, they will be. They won't be, obviously, for the bond itself, because the bond is the state's contribution, but Provport will be through its person power of its staffing and its contracted staff through other private investments that they will either make themselves or more likely recruit from private enterprise. There will definitively be other investments. That's the whole point, is that this will be a state investment that will yield more from others.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, a lot of people thought the way that you, I know, behind the scenes helped put this port deal together was a little slippery at the end of the session. Why, for instance, can't I vote for Quonset, which I think is a great investment, but this Provport thing, who knows? It looks like you're throwing $20 million at something that nobody knows, but you can't. The poor voter now can't vote for one or the other. You have to vote for both. You twin them on the ballot. That's not fair,
well,
is
that's,
it?
That's routinely done. As you
no,
know, on referendum, many of the referenda, you know, when you look at a university-related referendum, there are several related items that are placed on the ballot together. It's a common practice.
It's but not here's that common else, in Rhode Island. When's the last time it happened in Rhode Island?
Well, I haven't been here long enough to tell you that. You'd be better suited. But here's what I would say about it. Look, this is a proposal that, yes, I understand why people feel that there was a bit of a rush on the House side
there
regarding
was.
This. Item. No, I'm not debating that. It had a full hearing in the Senate.
Kind of.
Proper hearing in the Senate. There's been debate and discussion around Provport and its potential and the ability to expand upon it for years, even decades. And the fact of the matter is we have an important deep water port in Providence where there's the potential for the kind of job generation that will help Rhode Islanders of different income levels attain jobs, attain good work, and sustain families. This is something that we ought to be doing, and we ought to be doing it at Quonset and Provport. They're not mutually exclusive.
Okay, they say 300 jobs at Provport. Is that really worth $20 million, 300 blue-collar jobs?
Well, first of all, hundreds of jobs. Anytime you're talking about hundreds of jobs, it's a nice investment, but keep in mind, it will yield additional private investment, so there'll be a bigger expenditure. And also keep in mind that other jurisdictions are investing not just tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in their port infrastructure as the Panamax improvements, the post-Panama Canal improvements take place. And as there's a bit of chaos in the shipping world, the waterborne shipping world is in flux. And if we don't make a play for it in Rhode Island, other places will around the country and world.
And the Providence Journal reported that the Commerce Corporation has hired 32 new employees since Governor Raimondo took office in early 2015. The Pro chose Kate Bramson found salaries for state workers pursuing economic development have climbed by 34% since 2010. Are taxpayers getting an adequate return on investment for this new level of spending?
Well, keep in mind that the level of spending that we are only now attaining in 2016 is approximating the level of expenditure that Rhode Island did pre-recession. Now, if you look back to 08 and before, we had expenditure levels that were approached these levels that we're finally achieving now. And look, we're a small state, but we don't get a discount when we run ads or when we put out brochures or when we recruit businesses. We don't get a discount. We have to have a reasonable level of staffing and resources available to do the job. And I think what we're demonstrating under Governor Raimondo's leadership is that we are able to get the job done when we do have a bit of the firepower that we need.
Just wondering, the Paw Sox, have you been in talks with the owners and the new direction they're taking? Are they going to need some state incentives there? It looks like McCoy Stadium is going to need some upgrades.
The discussion thus far with the Paw Sox owners has been regarding this process regarding the new look at McCoy, determining the ballpark's condition, its state of repair, and how it can be an optimized venue for baseball and other uses. So that's been the focus. There's a new study that's being launched. As you probably know, there's been an RFP out there for vendors who will soon be selected to take that on.
We're talking here with State Commerce Secretary Stephen Pryor. And Secretary, you say the Raimondo administration is moving steadily to improve Rhode Island's business climate. There was a recent finding by CNBC that Rhode Island has the worst business climate in the nation. We can argue about whether there's a meaningful difference in being 50th or 46th, and we know the Northeast is a high-tax climate. But what do you say to critics who say the state needs to be moving more drastically to improve its business climate?
First of all, on the CNBC ranking itself, it's a very complex ranking system that they use, and I'm not going to judge it across the board, but I will point something out. This may surprise a lot of people. On the sub-ranking, on the individual indicator for business friendliness, Rhode Island actually showed positive growth, improved 6 slots on the CNBC ranking, and jumped from 45th to 39th in the United States of America. Now, 39th is not where we're resting. You know, that's, we're not going to rest on our laurels, but you know, that's a complex ranking, and there are a lot of things taken into account, things like air quality, things like the quality of our infrastructure. That isn't necessarily what everyone thinks of when they think about business competitiveness. I think we're making progress on those things. By the way, we're 50 out of 50 in the nation on infrastructure. Is anyone surprised by that? Governor Raimondo, just to her credit, fought a big fight to bring forward roadworks. That's because we do have some of the worst bridges and roads in America. That's the point. And you know what? We're going to have a revenue stream now and a program to get the job done. But very importantly, Brookings also just came out with a ranking that showed that among the 50 states, we're actually 17th for growth in jobs in the area of advanced industries. By the way, that growth rate, 17th in the U.S., eclipses Massachusetts and eclipses the United States average. So there are areas where we are very strong. And for a small state, what we need to do is wisely invest where we're strong to propel our economy forward. And that's why we're doing deals like the GE Digital deal and others that will help invest in advanced industries.
Here's what I don't understand about energy. Massachusetts, Vermont, other states in New England taking much different routes than Rhode Island. Building, we're going to fossil fuel source, whereas they're doing renewables. Massachusetts, Charlie Baker's plan to buy a lot more Canadian hydro. Vermont's doing very similar things. City of Burlington in Vermont is 100% already on renewables. Why are we so far behind in Rhode Island, and why are we investing in a fossil fuel plant? I don't get that.
Well, you know, I think we're making a variety of investments as a state. Generations of leadership now have invested in wind power. We have the first offshore wind farm in the United States of America. I think we need to continue to look at a variety of energy sources at a variety of price points, near term and long term, to ensure a strong energy future. So I think we're agreeing.
We're almost out of time here, but I have to ask you, your boss, Governor Raimondo, says she plans to run for re-election in 2018. How long do you hope to serve as Commerce Secretary?
Oh, I never assume that my continuing service will be required by the governor, but I will tell you that it is an honor to work with her. She gets up every morning and thinks about how can I create more high-paying, well-paying, quality jobs for Rhode Islanders. To be on that team is an honor, so I don't see myself disappearing in the foreseeable future, but I don't like to assume. I serve at the pleasure of the governor, and I will tell you, it is a pleasure.
If she wins in 2018, would your hope be to stay on?
Of course it would. But again, I don't speak on behalf of the governor regarding her personnel wishes. And I'm just happy every single day to be working hard at this job.
All right. We're out of time there, so we have to leave it. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Secretary of Commerce, Stephen Pryor.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ian and Scott. Thank you.